Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Filled with odd fright, see Jurassic Right. With an amber light, see Jurassic Right. Jurassic ride, see 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 Jurassic Park.
I don't even know if this is an intro, but it's like, what did it look like? What did
oh my god, every time I
where did they come from? Oh, the dinosaurs. This is See Jurassic Right. And I'm here with third time guest Andrea Siofalo, here to talk about prehistoric planet. Oh gosh, okay, I'm not going to keep that up the whole episode. Welcome back, Andrea.
Thank you, it's good to be back.
We're not together this time.
No, unfortunately.
But I would say the spirit of you is here in Florida with me, because Jose and Sheila are just hanging out on the deck right now, these two pigeons that have taken up nesting on the roof, or on the patio deck. But yeah, I've been sending you pictures the whole time this week, or in video. Oh, look, I'll show you
they're
afterwards.
So cute.
Yeah,
they're
maybe
so
I'll put a video in the episode post. But yeah, these two pigeons have been hanging out. And I'm just like, I've just been bugging you. Like, what does this mean? What's going on here?
It's absolutely not bugging me. I get really excited when you send photos and videos of them. They're so cute. How exciting. They're like right there. And you get to just like see them like building their little nest. And
I know. I don't think my dad's very happy about it, but he doesn't come up here anyway. So we're,
I mean,
I got to lock the door so that they can just, the deck is theirs at this point, you know?
They're not messing anything up. They're just chilling under the
He just brought in a stick for the nest.
Oh my goodness.
He or she, yeah. I don't know Jose or Sheila. I still haven't been able to tell them apart, or I don't even know if I assigned a Jose and a Sheila, but just as a couple, they're Jose and Sheila.
Yeah, it's hard because they're, you know, both of them, both male and female, will build nest and take care of the kids. So it's gonna unless you're like around them enough to like see if maybe there's like the male starts doing his little like trot I think I've sent you videos of Oyster doing it where he'll just like not bob his head and kind of like spin in circles. That's kind of like a more male behavior. But it's kind of hard to tell without like a DNA test.
Yeah, no, of course. So the first time you were on, it was kind of your origin story, painting, Jurassic Park 30th birthday.
Yes.
31st. Again, happy belated. Although your second episode, which came out around your birthday, was... Mm-hmm. The Charles R. Knight Field Museum episode, which we did it together. We did it at your place.
Mm-hmm, that was so fun.
Yeah, and that was the best. And then we ended up going to the museum the day afterwards, just to reaffirm all the wonderful things that we said, you know?
Completely backwards. And I feel like there was like so much more we could have like added to the episode if we had like gone the day before, but it wasn't even planned. So
I know. Yeah, well, again, we've got tons of stuff coming up. We'll have to do a Charles R. Knight part two at some point.
Yeah.
But what are we doing today?
Oh, we are talking about Prehistoric Planet, the docuseries with David Attenborough. Sir David Attenborough.
Sir David Attenborough. Where did they come from?
Or what did they look like?
How did they live? That's what it is. But how did they live? Just like the boy and the heron.
Yeah.
Like Hayao Miyazaki. Look, all of our interests are coming together.
Uh-huh.
But... You were the one who really urged me to see this because I like a bad Jurassic Park dinosaur things that keep you curious as an adult podcaster. I basically totally missed Prehistoric Planet.
I'm surprised because you're so active on Twitter and like I feel like the buzz on Twitter about it because I feel like compared to Instagram, I feel like all the paleontology folks are really active on Twitter. So I follow a lot of like paleo artists and paleontologists in the field. And I feel like, you know, and Darren Naish, who is like the head, he was like the scientific guru on set for that entire series. So I was just seeing so much buzz around it. I'm surprised that it like kind of flew under your radar.
Well, you know, I think the Natural History Museum in LA either did some tie-in event or just some sort of like thing. Cause I've done some work with them, you know, before. But I think it was kind of the dark days of like the least amount of SJR at the time. So I think it was one of those, like, I was like, well, if I can't tackle this and watch it every week, I was just like, I kind of just had to let it go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you were urging me. I want to know your journey to watching the show and just kind of like, whether Sir David Attenborough, or Dino Doc kind of history, but. It was one of those things where you're like, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. And then when I went to go watch it, finally, I was like, it was after we'd like re-recorded our second episode together. And I was like, huh, there's only 5 episodes a season. That seems like, whoa, like that's so little. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, holy shit. Like,
it's like I meant to look up how much the series cost to produce.
It's kind of it's not out there. Like I was really looking around to try and see what the budget was for each, because it feels just like Game of Thrones level. Like the visual effects are truly tremendous. Like I think, you know, we've been texting and I've been tweeting about it like here or there, watching it for this episode. I'm like angry. I'm furious. Like, because my heart believes it's real. But my brain is like, I know it's not real. Like, I know it's literally not real, but my heart is like if we went back in time, you know, Marty McFly and Doc Brown, Steven, Andrea, come back in time. We got to see the dinosaurs, you know, like this is what it would look like.
Yeah. Truly incredible CGI. I couldn't get over it. And it's funny because I know I know we were talking about this last night, but I didn't watch Walking with Dinosaurs, but a lot of people were comparing it to when Walking with Dinosaurs came out and how state of the art that was and how realistic the dinosaurs looked at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, same with Jurassic Park too, you know, and it makes me wonder like maybe 10 years down the line, if we get another Prehistoric Planet-esque docuseries like this, is it going to like, can we get better than this? Like, can we, is that even possible? Because I swear these look real.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, we'll go into, we're going to just talk about, you know, kind of our favorite moments, our, you know, top CGI moments, dinosaurs, new dinosaurs, the thing, you know, non-dinosaurs, because there's a lot of non-dinosaur ancient life representation here. Mm-hmm. you know, going through all that kind of stuff in the show, and also the differences between season one and two, because the first season came out before Jurassic World Dominion in 2022, and then season two came out, I believe, last May. Mm-hmm. So kind of just like a year apart, which again is also astounding. But yeah, we can go into all that stuff, but just posting angry TikToks. Why? How is this real? Who's lying to me? What are the secrets? What is the government keeping from us?
Yeah, like, who has a time machine and is out there filming right now?
Yeah, but yeah, before we get into it, but yeah, so you said you never watched Walking with Dinosaurs, but like, have you seen, other than Jurassic Park, I guess I don't know if I asked this before on previous episodes, but I guess is there other dinosaur media that you consume besides Jurassic Park? I think Dinotopia we talked about briefly, but
yeah.
Like, have you seen any? Because I've seen like a lot of kind of cheesy, other kind of lesser Walking with Dinosaur kind of ducks, like occasionally.
Yeah, I was literally just looking this up yesterday for research for later episodes. Amazing Dino World, it was called.
Ooh, wait, and is that in the same style as kind of Prehistoric Planet? And that
a little bit from what I remember, but it was more like there was like cut scenes of like kind of like at the end of the season two episodes. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the end of the Prehistoric Planet episodes in season two, where you had like scientist interviews. So it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was like Prehistoric Planet, but I think the CGI was pretty good from what I remember. But as far as other dinosaur documentaries, like you said, I feel like the ones that I had watched before, like, I don't even really remember. They were probably just really cheesy. I loved Land Before Time, though, growing up. I know it's not a documentary, but that was a big piece of dinosaur media that I ate up. Also, big Barney the Dinosaur fan.
Oh, my gosh.
Loved Barney. I remember having, like, the stuffed animals of all three of the dinosaurs. So we had, like, Baby Bop and BJ, I think his name was, the Triceratops. Yeah.
Hey, I'm a dinosaur.
With their little sneakers.
Oh, we're going to learn how to read.
I love you.
I mean, look, Barney is canon in Jurassic Park, so, yeah. You know.
Yeah. It's me, the dinosaur man. Ellie. Site B, the river.
There's a little, probably a bit of echo up here in the pigeon chamber. I'm now calling it. Prehistoric Planet, you know, just on a very basic level, were you a Planet Earth person at all? You know, certainly yeah. Embro, like that was my entrance, you know, obviously, like, to further your point, it's I was obsessed with Planet Earth when it came out. Like, I kind of feel like it just also celebrated a big anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing it as a teenager and you're like, I'm going to save the planet, fight climate change, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's also like Blue Planet was on Netflix when I was in mm-hmm. college, when it like started going into, you know, from physical DVDs to streaming. Planet Earth 2, you know, like all of that was, I feel like, so instrumental for me personally to kind of be where I am now, as far as just really, I don't know, you know, just looking at Planet Earth and life on, you know, David Attenborough is just the best, you know?
Yeah.
Like the, you know, there's all the great memes of like him with a leaf, you know, and like, yeah. And I think he's similar to Carl Sagan in a way that I think, as far as like admiring people who care about the Earth, I feel like they're both of them. I mean, Sir David Attenborough is still with us. Was just he just did Planet Earth 3, which mm-hmm. I need to watch.
Yeah, I still need to watch that too.
But really focusing on their work and really, you know, making an impact in science communication and all that stuff like that. But mm-hmm. But yeah, you watched Planet Earth and all that stuff growing up too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I feel like, and I think that was the goal of Prehistoric Planet, for it to be kind of like Planet Earth-esque in how they produced it and how it was set up.
Yeah.
Where it kind of, it literally felt like that we had a guy out there filming. There were moments where season one, episode one, where I think it was one of the marine reptiles like breached water and like splashed water and it looked like it was clinging to the camera lens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like those kind of moments where it's like no one's actually out there, but I like that they added that detail.
Yes, of course. Well, and yeah, so the you know, two seasons so far, no announcement of season three yet, but we'll get to that later, just mm-hmm. at the very end. But Again, it's a collaboration between BBC and Jon Favreau and the visual effects house MPC, which composer Hans Zimmer, as well as Rosman and Kara. I'm so sorry. I can't even look at my own handwriting. But all of this came together in a big way because of The Lion King that Jon Favreau directed. And, you know, because those lions in the remake or the live action version are completely CGI. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was interesting to me was that I didn't realize that Sir David Attenborough turned down doing the VO for Walking with Dinosaurs because he was like, wait, you know, as much as, you know, we're using science and groundbreaking visual effects and stuff to tell these stories, you know, in trying to represent, you know, these long extinct creatures, I think he was just like, I don't know, but I, you know, just from the bit, you know, the little bits I've read about this series coming together, it was like, well, now it kind of feels like we can do the things, and it feels, again, like you said, like, you know, there's some behind the scenes stuff where they really did go to all these locations and made them feel like, you know, different periods of when dinosaurs were around. It's insane. Like, again, I'm just standing here angry, like, So you watched it when it first came out. So you were like,
yes,
like every week following, like, what was that? What was that like? And just following Paleo Twitter and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was a fun time to be on Twitter. Honestly, when season one came out, because it kind of like, I feel like I go through periods of doing paleo art. And then I go through periods where I stop out of, I don't know, just not because of lack of interest, but I feel like a lot of people, including myself, got really like inspired by the series. So there's a lot of like fan art, and I made I was making sketches like after I would watch an episode, and like I'd go on Twitter and see what everyone's like input was. And it was just really cool. And like, just really interactive to be able to like, you know, see all these people and who are also thoroughly enjoying the series as well. And I think it had a huge impact on a lot of people. Yeah, it was just really cool. And it was kind of nice to have that again, where you could just, like, you have like a show, like you don't have the whole series get released at the same time. You have to like wait for the next week at this time for you to be able to watch it. And I feel like I haven't gotten to do that in a while. It was just kind of fun. It's like, well, it's 8, you know, it's 8 p.m. on Sunday. I don't remember what time it came out, but like, you know, it's 7 p.m. on a Sunday. I got to sit down and watch my show.
Yeah, no, for sure. I do. Yeah. Now I do regret like not being there when it was dropping. And because, yeah, I mean, every episode, it seemed like just from the descriptions of the show, and that they really were trying to sort of put out a lot of new information and make dinosaurs feel real in that way. Like, I think one of the last things I wrote on social media, just watching the series in preparation for this episode, that I think so often dinosaurs are like a metaphor, you know, for the hubris of man, like Jurassic Park or capitalism or, or, you know, in pop music, which I'm working on an episode about, where like, you know, Kesha's talking about dinosaur as like an old man, you know, like traditional ways of thinking, or Ruby Fields, who's been on the show, talking about dinosaurs as like a loss of innocence or childhood innocence or something. But I feel like prehistoric planet really made me reappreciate dinosaurs as just animals, you know, nothing that has nothing to do with us, you know?
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah. And like getting to see them, like, I mean, for lack of a better term, I guess, like, not to be too on the nose about it, but like in their natural habitat and not like being like monsters in a movie or, you know, I think like, well, and I understand like, you know, the action, like all the violence with like T-Rexes and, you know, that we would see in like Jurassic Park or even other dino documentaries. But it was cool to get to see them being like mothers and, you know, caring for their young and, you know, being really itchy and just needing to scratch themselves on a tree. Like this, like stuff that you wouldn't think about, or like maybe you haven't thought about dinosaurs doing.
Horny as hell, you know.
Horny as hell, like mothers and lovers. And
yeah. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. More sticks are being collected. We're just going to have Sheila and Jose updates through this episode. But yeah, they've been really like, there was like a big, because, you know, I'm by the ocean. So there was like a little chunky bit of seaweed, you know, and stuff. So.
Oh, man, I'm so excited for you.
But yeah, 100%. And you had a question just as we were prepping for the episode that I'm just going to get this right out of the way before we start talking and diving into our favorite moments. And again, the planet Earth of it all. And I think why this works so well, because it's not just good CGI. It's like integration with the environment and having other animals talked about. So they're not in a vacuum and like talking about the climate and the geology and the, you know, the history of it all. You asked me, you're like, oh, what are like new dinosaurs that you've never heard of or like stuff like that? And this is very humbling for me. I'll be honest. I knew only half of the dinosaurs that were in this series. To give myself some credit, I knew basically all the dinosaur types. You know, there's hadrosaurs, sauropods, meaty boys. That's the technical term. Little meaty boys, big meaty boys, you know, they're, you know. All the different, you know, flying reptiles, marine reptiles, but like truly the species. I mean, I would say I maybe knew like one or two per episode. It was very exciting. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was very humbling. And yeah, I feel embarrassed.
No, you shouldn't, because I was probably about the same, because I mean, all the dinosaurs, sure. Like I think I knew most of them, but the pterosaurs, I was like, what the hell is that? I felt so uneducated. I was like, I mean, aside from like Quetzalcoatlus, I feel like I was just like, I had never seen this before. Like the one that had like the big deer antler head.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot the name of that one already. It was like something Draco.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it even was like a thing of like, oh, that's, you know, I don't know, giraffe titan or whatever. It's like, nope, that's an Alamosaur, you know, Alamosaurus. Or like, oh my gosh, that's Velociraptor. And it's like, no, that's, or no, oh, the one that I was like, oh, that's an Oviraptor. And they're like, nope, that's a
Corythoraptor.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, like every episode I would get I would constantly have this thing where I think I was, you know, it's like, yeah, that's not a Corythosaurus, that's an Olorotitan or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like the different like facets of each like group.
Yeah, no, for sure. So you were watching it every week, and did you do the same for season two as well?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't think I did. I did watch it like within like a few weeks of it coming out, but I think I started watching, I don't know. I think I could be wrong. I feel like I think instead of it being weekly, I think it was like just released in 1 week.
Oh, okay.
So it was like episode like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that. I think that's how they did it. So it kind of like came fast, and I didn't keep up with it as closely as I could with the first season, but I did watch it.
And you are correct. It was actually, yeah, because it's, yeah, for season one, it says, you know, May 23rd, 2022. And then like, or yeah, 2022. But then yeah, for season two, it's like May 22, May 23rd, May 24th.
Yeah. So I think that was why, just because I like maybe wasn't able to sit down every night that week to watch it. So I was a little bit behind, but I was careful not to get things spoiled for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like season two, in comparison to season one, I feel like season one, they got kind of all the heavy hitters out of the way, like the ones that we want to see. So like T-Rex and Quetzalcoatlus and Triceratops, Titanosaur, like.
For sure. Well, you know, it's so funny though, because yeah, so I binged all of this in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, because I literally watched the last episode yesterday, which the last episode, North America, was like the Avengers Endgame of like, bring it out, all the gang's all here.
Yeah, I know.
But in a way that felt rewarding, because there were episodes that had less dinosaurs and more other, you know, marine or flying guys. Flying fellows. Do you think that, like, because the series is divided, and I'll just read off the season one and two again. Each season had 5 episodes. Season one had coasts, deserts, freshwater, ice worlds, and forests, and season two had islands, badlands, swamps, oceans, and North America. You know?
I know that made me laugh too, because I was like, what I don't understand what the reasoning was behind it. And also, it wasn't until like me doing the rewatch of the whole series this last week that I was watching like Ice Worlds. I'm like, why are we on a volcano right now? Like, or we'd be in like the Badlands episode. I'm like, why am I seeing snow in this episode? Like,
I mean, it is interesting. And I wonder if that to the point you're making about how, you know, they really wanted to, obviously getting Sir David Attenborough involved, but just like doing the kind of biome centric episodes to make it really feel. Yeah, because I don't know how else you would even do something like this. I guess you would focus maybe on one dinosaur per episode. I don't know about that. Like, if you did, I mean, the North America episode, again, had like enough variety that, but I personally really liked, you know, there's a little bit of variety within each episode. And even like, again, how you were saying, like when we were texting about it, of just even, yeah, it's not just the same, you know, it's not just mating, babies being eaten. Or born or surviving and, you know, fights and predator prey relationships that like, especially as the series went on, there really was like a ton of variety of what these dinosaurs and other ancient life was up to.
And I really liked that. I mean, obviously if you're going to make a show called Prehistoric Planet, like I know that obviously people want to see the dinosaurs, but I like that they also gave like a lot of screen time to like marine reptiles, flying reptiles. We got a couple mammals and just like reptilians in general.
The veggie crocodile, Suco. What is it?
Oh, Cynosuchus.
Cynosuchus, yeah. That was the veggie crocodiles or Cynosuchus. My handwriting is so bad. We'll get through it. But the veggie crocodiles, that was like really cool. Like that was like a really delightful, surprising, fun section. Because yeah, and I really just like the structure of the show where it's almost like you kind of have like maybe one or two characters, like not even characters per se, but just like they kind of like will come back to certain dinosaurs throughout the episode, and then other dinosaurs maybe just get like a little vignette or you know, there's like, I don't know, because it's just, it must be so, how do you even write and conceive of something like this?
I know, especially because it's like you're, you know, I don't know how to film like a real life nature documentary, but I assume you're kind of at the will of like what kind of footage you can get.
Oh yeah.
Like how do you stitch that all together? And, you know, maybe that was the mindset they were like in when they kind of were trying to piece this docuseries together in a way that looked like natural, like it was an actual nature documentary. But I did like that we had like several reoccurring characters. And they kind of like would like pop back in.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like we saw T-Rex like four times. We saw Triceratops a few times.
Quetzalcoatlus. Mosasaurs.
And Beelzebufo, which I mean, we're going to talk about him more later. That was like my favorite non-dinosaur.
I'm terrified of frogs.
Really? Oh no, I loved him. I was so excited.
I liked him, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, just because in the time of like Walking with Dinosaurs to now, we also get stuff like Marching with Penguins and, you know, there's so many repackaging of planet Earth footage. Like there's like life and, you know, and controversies like Meerkat Manor, where the creators of the show were caught like repainting a different meerkat's tail to try and look. No, they didn't do that, but they just, that's like Meet the Parents. But in my head, that's probably what they would have wanted to do, where they were like following these different meerkats, but then one of them died or like disappeared or something. So they tried to pass off in the edit, like a different meerkat as the same one.
Oh, I didn't know that happened. I forgot about that show.
But yeah, it's, you know, there's all that, like you're saying, there's like a challenge of if you're just filming, you know, animal footage and then you're having to create a compelling story. And I just really love this approach where you have kind of characters of these different dinosaurs, but you're not anthropomorphizing them so much that it's like, this is, I mean, again, as I'm doing with our pigeon buddies out on the deck, you know, Jose and Sheila, you know, like, you know, David Attenborough isn't like giving all the dinosaurs names, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just personally feel like this was like for me, again, partially mad at myself, partially embarrassed, partially like, I'm so glad that we did this and that you urged me to or to watch it is like, this is the approach that is like, you're right. Like, it finds that sweet spot in between of like, they're not just all T-Rex. It's like, this is a T-Rex. The, like the Nanook, the, like the smaller T-Rex and like her journey. And then I think I was like blowing my dad's mind a little bit last night. Just like where I showed him an episode and then was like, yeah, you know, it's like over millions of years. So, you know, you find the bones of one individual, you know what I mean? Just having to wrap your head around, like, this show is like having to show individual dinosaurs, but also sort of try to represent maybe what all these types of, or like, you know, that just that, all that, the cocktail of all that stuff, the Malort cocktail of
the Malort.
It allowed them to still be animals, but we got to get a little more invested in what happened because they're not just like representational, I guess, is the short way of saying all the long-winded stuff I just said. But
yeah, and they showed no mercy with the babies in this series too. They really said fuck them kids, and I showed me some of like the cutest baby dinosaurs I've ever seen, and then just made me watch them get murdered in front of my eyes.
I mean, I'll bring up this question now too, because I mean, I don't know, I think between the two of us, what complaints do we have about the show, if at any? And my only question was like, should the show have gotten a little bit more graphic? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, there is parts of like Planet Earth, like especially Planet Earth 2, I feel like, where it's almost like, I don't know if I want to watch this part anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen it once, but whereas I feel like there were very few parts of Prehistoric Planet where it was like hard to watch. And in a weird way, I don't know, the stuff with the Allura Titans and like trying to get the bugs, like all the mosquitoes or whatever, and like the little babies and like your heart. I mean, like, I definitely shed a tear at that part, even though like, you know, that some didn't survive, but then seeing the ones that did, like, I don't know, there was just like a delicate, to me, I felt like, would it have, I don't know. Yeah. What did you think?
I don't know if it would have added any more to the series to get like more blood and guts. You know, there was plenty of moments where they were very suspenseful, and obviously there were losses.
Yeah.
When I was rewatching the Badlands episode, watching the baby Icysaurs get like picked off by Rajasaurus, like screaming, crying. I was like, why would they show me the cutest baby dinosaur I've ever seen? And then I'm like watching in horror as they're all getting just like.
And there's something also to when like especially the flying reptiles were eating each other a lot, you know, that was like, you're just like, and it's like, I hate the sound. We talked about this when we were at the museum together one of the times. I hate the sound of, I don't know if I hate it. It attacks a fuzzy lizard part of my brain when I hear the sound of a beak hitting each other, you know, like like I've heard it with like albatross beaks, but then in the show, they obviously do like a bigger version of that with like Quetzalcoatlus and like a lot of the other flying reptiles. And that sound is just so like the same part of me that sees like liminal spaces where it's like, I don't know, there's something kind of weird. You know, and it's like talking about these giant flying reptiles that are big as giraffes, just being like, you know,
maybe like, that's like, it's something deep in your lizard brain that's like danger.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, just because these, I mean, they could have, you know.
Yeah, they definitely could have. And they're huge. Like, they're so creepy. They're so weird looking. Oh, man.
But yeah, so it's funny because how you said before that this show, you know, didn't want to just show them as monsters, because I kind of just watched the whole series. And then, well, I watched most of the series, then was kind of looking at interviews and responses and how, you know, what people thought of it and stuff. And there is like a small contingent of people that were like, there wasn't enough, like, you know, like fights and things and stuff. And it's, I don't, you know, but yeah, it's like, yeah, we've seen that. We've seen, you know, Jurassic Park has all that stuff.
Like that's all we've ever gotten from dinosaurs. I want to see what else they could have done.
Yeah.
I want to see what else they're capable of.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. You know, like, especially the first Land Before Time is so apocalyptic, and you think about Fantasia, you know, is very apocalyptic. Like, it was also very refreshing to, again, just be like, yeah, dinosaurs lived for, what, like 150 to 66 million years? Like, in that time frame, like, it wasn't just all death and destruction, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like every episode had such a great...
Yeah, we got a good balance.
You know, you can't see this. I'm just waving my hands around.
Yeah, just like a good balance of those two, of the stuff. Like, obviously, you're going to see the predators chasing the prey. But I like that you got to see other behaviors.
Yeah.
The variety of behaviors that we got to see. And just like, some of it was just cute. Like, even the scene where like the male and female T-Rex like get together and they're just like nuzzling. I'm like, that's adorable. Like, they get to see their softer side.
the Antarctopelta, the like ankylosaur in the, I can't read my handwriting, in the Ice Worlds episode, like when they're all trying to cuddle in the hole.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, they've all gotten so big, they can't fit in the hole anymore.
Yeah.
It just was very cool. Ugh, I mean, and then, you know, they really start with a bang with the isosaurs and the, or no, yeah, it's the isosaurs, right? With the, where, what?
Oh, no, the isosaurs were the ones in the Badlands that nested in like the, what do you call it? The caldera.
Yes, that's
and, like,
right.
And like the hot sands.
But that's even really cool too. Like that bit of science that this certain sauropod used to like, oh, well, the ground's warm over here, so why wouldn't I lay my eggs, you know, in the caldera of a volcano to like things up, you know, so that we don't have to, you know, giant ton animal has to sit on eggs, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. The, in the first season of Desert, oh, Dreadnoughtus. What am I? Classic dinosaur now, you know, featured in Jurassic World.
See, now we're getting confused because we're like, wait, it's...
Yeah, season...
Maybe it's a lesser known one that I forgot about.
No, you're right. You're right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I don't know. Should we just jump into some of our favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess briefly too. The only biggest difference between the first and second season was that the episodes were a little shorter, but they had like kind of a 10-minute chunk just to sort of have talking heads, you know, have Dr. Michael Habib, who I've had the pleasure of meeting. He was on one of the very first episodes of Ologies.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about mosasaurs in one of the later season two episodes. But yeah, really the only big difference between the seasons is that the second season was just maybe like each episode is maybe like 10 minutes shorter and had some talking heads. What did you think about the difference between season one and two in that regard?
With the talking heads at the end. I like that. I kind of wish they did it for season one because it was kind of nice to like for the end of episode three, the swamps with the pachycephalosaurs.
Yeah.
And like them asking like kind of like the big questions that we would be asking at the end of each episode. So like that one, they focus on like, did they actually headbutt stuff? And then they like show you the supporting evidence and like how they came to that conclusion and why they put it in the docuseries. I kind of wish I had a little bit more of that because like throughout the series. And when I was rewatching it too, I was like finding myself like looking up, like, wait, like, how did they, you know, how did they know this? Or like, how do they, you know, determine this? Like, I wonder like what, like, if it's not like 100%, I mean, nothing's really 100% with dinosaurs. We get find new discoveries that kind of change everything. Look at Spinosaurus, but
yeah,
you know, like, stuff changes all the time. But like, how did they figure that out? Like, especially with, I think, Mononychus, I was looking up like that it had facial discs like a barn owl.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah.
And it's because their hearing, they're able to tell by like their skull structure that their hearing was very similar to an owl. So it wasn't unlikely that they would have had facial discs like an owl to help them see and hear in their surroundings. So I thought that was really cool. But I kind of wish I had a little bit more of that, because just because I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, no, I think to your point, and I wonder if that was maybe the response between season one and two, is that, like, I think obviously this show uses all the, the bag of tricks from Planet Earth to really sell you. And I think that really goes such a long way in really grounding you and making you feel like you're just, again, looking through a camera, you know, like our old buddy Charles Knight, that old fucker, you know, how so many of his murals felt like photography, because he really captured, you know, an aliveness to his, to his subjects that made it feel less like I'm just drawing an anatomical drawing of a dinosaur or a portrait of a dinosaur, just, you know, a lady, a T-Rex in waiting, you know, like, but, you know, really felt like he went out in the ancient world and painted. And I think Planet Earth almost kind of utilized that same way, but with, you know, modern filmmaking. But yeah, I definitely feel like for people who are curious, you know, who were more curious about, like, again, embarrassingly, it's like, you know, I was obsessed with dinosaurs as a kid, still am as an adult. But I would admit to say that I don't necessarily keep up with everything all the time. And, you know, I think there is that extra layer of like, okay, like, we all grew up with Jurassic Park. We all grew up liking dinosaurs. Even as an adult, we go to museums and stuff. But like, this is an opportunity for Prehistoric Planet to really be like, oh my gosh, look at this insane discovery about these isosaurs in the volcano. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to answer long debates about Triceratops and Pachycephalosaurus and all the cool information about the Mosasaurs and the sea maneuver where, you know, they were able to, I mean, you know, the idea of like a Mosasaur basically hitting you like a semi-truck, you know, instantly killing you. You know, so there was, I think to your point, it's like, you know, I think maybe in the first season, they really wanted to just sell you on, like, that you're looking at, you know, that this is real. But then I think maybe they're like, well, you know, there's only so much we can explain in David Attenborough's sort of poetic voiceover. You know, maybe let's carve some time out to actually sit with some scientists and talk about it.
Yeah, I like that they did that. And I hope that, like, maybe in time that we get more of that, if we do get a season three. From my understanding, I think, I could be wrong on this, but I think they made seasons one and two at the same time. I think that's why they were able to, why they were able to hit season two. Cause I didn't know we were getting a season two until like a month before it came out. I was like, what the hell? Like, they made another one. I think, like, I'm assuming that maybe they did both at the same time. And maybe it was like the footage that they couldn't fit into season one and they kind of expanded on it, because I can't imagine they were able to produce something like that in a year.
No, for sure. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about the makings of something like this, but and that's why I was so shocked that we were getting a season two so quickly. But I hope that if we eventually get a season three, that maybe there's going to be more talking heads, at the end, or like maybe for like bonus footage where we can talk to like the scientists that are behind it, because I like to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
And it still makes it like documentary style. Like, I mean, like I said, in that other docuseries I watched back in 2020, it was kind of like, you see like the CGI footage of these animals, and then it cuts to the scientist talking about like the skeleton, or you see the fossil of it and all that stuff. I kind of like seeing that stuff too, but I wouldn't even really call that a complaint. It's a preference.
Yeah. Just pop back into Sir David Attenborough, just like in the, how do the dinosaurs, beautiful fossil.
Protect he's just him at all costs.
I know, exactly. Oh, I love him so much. But yeah, I mean, favorite, again, I put kind of favorite dino, favorite CGI moments. Like, what were some of your favorite, I guess we could just, if you mention it, I'll be like, yes, that was mine too. And we kind of go, whatever, back and forth. It's loosey.
Yeah, yeah.
We're loosey goosey.
Yeah, this was a hard list for me to make. I wrote down, like, when I was rewatching, I just like wrote down the dinosaur or animal appearances in each episode, and I like starred the ones I was like, this is a contender, and there's like a million stars all over my face. So this is very hard. We're talking like favorite CGI moments, like aesthetically, like I'm thinking like things that I watched and was like, that there's someone out there with a camera right now. That is not CGI. You're lying to me. It was the scene with both scenes with the Carithoraptors were very well, beautifully done.
That was that was like number two, you know, number three on my list. The Carithoraptors, which, you know, I feel like maybe the more popular version of that dinosaur is the Oviraptor. You know, they just kind of look like, I don't know. I mean, it's like a cassowary.
Yeah.
Emu kind of thing, but they're beautifully bright blue, or at least, you know, represented here, and kind of got a unique head shape with kind of like a little, I don't know, top hat kind of thing going on.
Like a crest.
Thank you. Because I think too, with that, it was not only that you saw them during the day, they get chased, you know, by one predator, but then there's the eggs at night that they get stolen from, that the stuff at night even looked incredible too. Those shadows, it was just.
Yeah. And it just making that, like being able to translate something like that. Like, again, I don't know anything about animation. So maybe it's just impressive to me because I've never had to animate something before, but like just the way they're able to translate something like that into like different lighting.
Yeah.
I guess as an artist, like I really like how that they were able to make that realistic. And there was like, and well, this is one of the other scenes I was going to bring up, but the Troodontid in the forest fire scene, the lighting of that scene, it was just really pretty, really nice to look at. And just like, I was like, how do they do all this? You know, like it was really just really well done. And yeah, with the first season one scene with the Carithoraptors, where you're watching the Kanzasaurus hunting, I don't think I pronounced that right. I'm so sorry. That was one of the dinosaurs I had never heard of before the series. So forgive me. When you see her like stalking and you have all of like the fall leaves coming down around her. And it's just so pretty. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is so good.
Again, just made it just feel so grounded. And honestly, the environment kind of looked like the Brookfield Zoo. You know, when we were walking in the path with the okapis in the back and everything, it was kind of like that. It kind of felt like just like a fall trail. And, you know, these dinosaurs, you know, they're very
the Hadrosaur statue behind us at the zoo. And the okapis in front of us.
It was very similar. It just felt very, because again, too, what I love about the show is that it showed us all different kinds of environments and not just like apocalyptic volcano stuff, you know. I mean, that stuff was even represented in interesting ways too, again, but.
Mm-hmm. I liked any time we got like a close up of the face of any animal. I remember saying aloud, they're little eyelashes. You can like see, you see like them in front view and you just see these long eyelashes. And I was just like, oh, that's such a cool detail. Like, I don't know. Like that stood out to me, the eyelashes. I think because whenever I look at my birds and I get the little wispies.
I always
like think it's really cute. So that made me think of that. But I wrote down in my notes, eyelashes.
Well, to that, and you brought them up already, but the Mononychus, to me, I think maybe there's so many great moments, you know, but that to me, like in season one, I think that's in episode two, Deserts. That was like the moment where I was like, no, like I just kind of like get up and walk away. I was just like, because it's this, you know, type of raptor-ish looking theropod, and it has this very like, what did you call it, with the owl kind of face?
Oh, the facial discs.
Yeah, and it just looks very much, kind of like an owl face with kind of like a long snout, and then it's got the claw that they theorized could like dig into wood and dig up, you know, juicy grubs, you know, Hakuna Matata. but that, in terms of just like the feathering and the fuzz and even the claw, you know, the kind of bird feet of it all. And that was just like, I mean, and, you know, there was just like there's a lot of personality to the Mononychus. Just kind of being like, okay, wandering around the desert, trying to do their thing. And yeah, that to me was like, again, you know, I was impressed from frame one with, you know, swimming baby T-Rexes and stuff. But like that truly, like in episode two, seeing them on an Ikus, I was just like, oh, they did not come to play, you know, as far as the CGI goes in this series.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I would argue that, you know, every moment, every episode has maybe one or two moments of CGI that is maybe not perfect. But I mean, you know.
I can even tell you which one.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that for me, Mononychus is like, as far as just CGI, was just like, holy shit.
It's so, like I said, it's so hard. Like, I don't even know. Like, I think that like, there's like probably 10 top favorite moments for me, but that's definitely one of them. I really, really, really love the Mononychus. And I think a lot of other people really enjoyed that one too.
Yeah.
Just so real looking. Getting to see them all in different settings like that too. Like we get like the night, like with the Caritha Raptors, we get to see them in the daylight. We get to see them in like night vision. And that was another thing, like with that, making it seem like a real documentary. Like they have like the time lapses. They had like night vision. They had
a UV or like, yeah. Heat.
Cause there infrared. It was infrared that I think also made it seem really like just a detail that they added that they maybe didn't need to add that I thought was really cool.
Oh, well, and to your point too, you know, you brought up at the very beginning of these little touches that make it feel like a documentary. I would also argue that they didn't do it too much, because that could have been cheesy, like all the time,
yeah.
Having like fake dinosaurs bumping into cameras and stuff. And I really feel like, because there was like a bit of infrared camera when there was some ceratopsians going through the cave to have like the chalk, you know, because it was almost like, you know, the poisonous West Indian lilac thing in Jurassic Park where they were drinking this, or they were eating the chalk or the clay.
They were eating the clay,
but like that was kind of like night vision camera stuff. But again, it was just sprinkled here and there to make it feel real, but not to like knock you over the head. You know, they weren't having like shaky cam, like the herd, you know, everything. It was very, very clearly and cleanly framed and artfully framed and stuff. But yeah, it was never, that stuff was, they weren't knocking you over the head with it. I feel like.
Yeah, man. I have like, seriously, like I said, I starred everything.
I was going to see if you were going to bring up, because, you know, for the upcoming series that we're going to do, which we've hinted at here or there, we'll maybe mention more of it at the end of the episode. But two of your favorite dinosaurs, without spoiling, get featured in this episode. Well, I guess I'll spoil one of them, but I had never, because my childhood dinosaur dictionary didn't even have this dinosaur, or it had its arms.
Yep.
And then to see this, and you know, they used him a lot. They used him or her, whatever. Doesn't really matter, but they used them in the like marketing, I feel like, a bit, you know, the intro and stuff. But it is pronounced Dinochirus, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This giant duck.
I think I wrote Giga Duck in my notes for like another, but that's what I've been calling it, the Giga Duck. But yeah, I was so stoked. I am a little disappointed that they use it so much in the promo material, because it got spoiled for me. I would have liked to just be like, you know what I mean? Like, but
I mean, that thing looks,
but you have to. Yeah. I love how they did that one. It was just like, it was kind of funny. It was kind of like a comic relief one. It's like, oh, he's just an itchy guy.
And then he shits in the water.
Yeah, and then he just poops at the end of his scene.
That was exciting again, because you had mentioned this dinosaur. And again, I had never really seen it represented. And so to get to see it this way, and it is one of the best looking in the entire series, I would argue. Mm-hmm. It was just so unreal. And, you know, it's like the stuff, again, to make it feel more like real animals. And like, it's almost like it's, you know, its coat was like almost like, you know, how like sloths have these like really thick coats. Kind of. Like,
yeah, that's exactly what I thought of, too. Just that kind of drab looking. I don't know if drab is the word I would use, but like it almost looks just like this matted, like mossy.
Yeah,
swampy looking.
Yeah. Well, again, all the insects were like having a field.
Yeah. And it's probably protective, you know, may have been a protective thing, because he's probably getting bitten up all the time and he's itchy.
He was looking a little scrungly.
Yeah, he was very scrumbly. Scrumbly king.
Shout out to our friend M, who introduced that term into our lives.
That's the best word ever.
Scrungles. That's a giga duck. But yeah, I was really, I was definitely really happy when I saw that, and just again excited that we're getting to do all this stuff together, because I was like, oh, that's like, that's one of your favorite guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, obviously I got to talk about my other favorite, cause that is one of my favorite scenes, and that oh my God. Like, I didn't know that was coming.
Oh.
Because there's a scene at like the Oasis in the Desert episode where you see a Therizinosaur for like a split second. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I'm thinking like, I don't think we're going to get one. But we didn't just get one. We got like the cutest little like snippet of like dinosaur footage ever, where they're just like these little baby Therizinosaurs. Like the second they walk into frame and I saw their little hands, I'm like, stop. No way. I was like, this is so cute. And they're trying to get honey. Like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, and to bring up again, you know, this is the third of our first of Sea Jurassic Right trilogies together, you and I. And you brought up, I believe, in the very first episode that you were a little meh on the Jurassic World Dominion Therizinosaurus. So this was very exciting for me to see as well, because I was like, oh, this is what Andrew is into. Like, this and this is awesome.
Is that like you just get a good sense of like the scale too, of like how big they are, because you see the like the little guys. But then there's that moment where the adult kind of just walks in and just swats the honey, or not the beehive down.
Yeah.
And like, cause they were huge. I mean, they were comparable to like the size of like T-Rex. Same with Dinocyrus, two very, very, very large animals. And I thought that was really cool that we got to see like the little guys and the big guys. I wish we saw more of them in the daylight. That would be my only 2 cents, but again, it's not even a complaint. It's just like a suggestion, you know, like,
yeah, I want more.
Yeah. It says, I just want more. I don't think that's really would really fall under a complaint, but.
But describe them again, just for listeners. Cause they are just such a uniquely shaped.
Uniquely shaped.
And, you know, just that they have these big claws, but they're vegetarian, you know, omnivorous or, you know, whatever.
So Therizinosaurs are these very large theropods that have proportionately the biggest claws ever in existence that we know of. So at first glance, you see something like foot long claws and you think like that, you know, that's like, seems like a dangerous predator, but they were most likely were herbivores. Like they weren't eating meat. They had kind of like a beak at the front of their face, and really small head proportionately, long neck, and kind of like a bigger belly. I know a lot of people describe it as like a pot belly, but just like very straight, like just really odd combination of features. And I think that's why I didn't really like the Dominion depiction. I know I talked about this in our previous episodes, but it's why I didn't really like the Dominion depiction, because I feel like they just scrapped all of it and they just like, we're just going to take like a raptor build and like give them like a long neck and just give them like the big claws and we're just going to call it a day.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause you lose all that the other components that make it so unique. Mm-hmm. And what made it so interesting to me. And I think, and I was very excited to see like that depiction in the series, and you get to see babies. We love babies.
And they just get in the honey
and they get stung a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, there is precarious moments that aren't just predator prey interactions, which is also, you know, again, adds tension, creates a variety. The Therizino is definitely a highlight as well, again, for just CGI and stuff. And I will say, I'm curious what you thought of the Velociraptors, because there is, in general, I would say this whole thing isn't, you know, it almost feels like everything has to reference Jurassic Park. You know, and I would say, other than maybe, I think it was during the Corythoraptors segment where they kind of say something about like, not even like, oh, that the idea that these couldn't see, you know, like if you didn't move that you couldn't see, you know, there was like some vague reference to that in one episode about like, you know, because again, in the original Jurassic Park, it's like the T-Rex, its vision is based on movement. And like that idea is dropped and never talked about ever again.
Yeah. it's kind of like a trope that like just people can't let go of.
Well, you know? I mean, well, again, and there, my friend Rhiannon, Mire Pierre, she has a song called Dinosaur, and she also talks a thing about vision based on movement. It's like, you know, it is a, like you're saying, it's a trope, and, but it was, you know, overall Prehistoric Planet, I feel like wasn't necessarily, it was highlighting misinformation without necessarily being like, oh, this thing from Jurassic Park. Like it kind of, there was ways in which it was responding that weren't very obvious.
Yeah.
But in a way, I in general feel like, you know, velociraptors are so talked about so much that I felt like they did so much cool stuff with the velociraptors in the series that it's like kind of like reclaiming the title, you know, because they were just so, they were beautiful and cute. And like when they're like running around the Tarbosaurus and is like, you know, and like the different, like, I mean, they did sort of a clever girl moment where they like chase and, you know, and.
Oh, and they like kick the dinosaur off the cliff. And
oh yeah. I sent you that video. just drop kicked a.
Like distressing to watch a little bit.
But they were like, they just looked so good. Just these, you know, more like 6 foot, you know, just these like 3 foot kind of, you know, almost like, God, they were like kind of coyote-like. It's almost like if a coyote and a roadrunner were combined.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Like that's a really good comparison.
But, you know, because just the way that they showed a lot of velociraptor and velociraptor cousins, you know, dromaeosaur and stuff like that with these like beautiful long tails that have like the feathers coming over the top. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just that thing of like, you know, there is people who are like, well, these aren't as scary. And I'm like, I don't know. It's imagine if you had three little velociraptors running at you. That's terrifying.
I think they could take you down if there's like at least two of them, you know?
Yeah. They drop kick even you if off they're a small, cliff. Like,
yeah. They'll find a way. Drop a rock on your head. I don't know.
Yeah. They're so smart. Gosh. I mean, there's so much good. I mean, again, more popular conceptions, you know, the Pachycephalosaurus segment is so good just because it's just, because it's telling a story, you know, there's, you know, the older male and the younger, you know, the young upstart and the hits are so brutal and you get those, like you're saying, the close-ups and everything. And that, again, it's like a popular dinosaur that we know, but they just talked about it in ways that felt fresh and interesting and, you know.
Yeah. Like obviously they're going to talk about the headbutting, which is, I would argue, what you know Pachycephalosaurus for. So they obviously are going to talk about that, but I like the whole, like the rivalry and the exile.
Yeah, yeah.
At like part of it, I was like, whoa, like the drama that they add. Like,
and again, very real stuff that happens, you know, in the animal world. That was like, you know, as somebody who is embarrassingly, again, knows, you know, all the general types of these dinosaurs, but just getting to see these new species. And, you know, one of the reasons why I really liked Fallen Kingdom personally was that, you know, in the original Jurassic Park movies, it's like, this shape, this shape, this shape, you know, the kind of like more representational dinosaurs. Whereas like Fallen Kingdom had like Allosaurus, Baryonyx, like Carnotaurus, like we're having a bunch of different theropods.
Yeah.
And I like that we got all different types of duck-billed dinosaurs, all different types of sauropods that wasn't just like, yes, we had T-Rex, you know, pop in, we had Mosasaurus pop in, but we also had different Mosasaurs, like the smaller one in one of the, in the Oceans episode. And what are some of your other favorites that again, spoke to you?
Beelzebufo.
We gotta talk
Beelzebufo. Just right out the gate, I was like, look at this guy. He's amazing.
Absolute unit.
I love him. Yep. Just eats a baby in that first scene and then just goes, sinks back into the mud. Like
he's just a giant frog. But like,
yeah, that's literally it. Just a giant frog.
He's like the devil toad.
The devil toad.
Yeah.
But I was thrilled that he comes back in season two. We get a little bit more of him. We get to see him trying to making rumbly noises into the mud so he can attract other frogs.
Well, and again, to that idea of this whole show just being like, I love the idea of like these animals are trying to mate, or, you know, he's trying to, you know, Beelzebufo, right? Is that Beelzebufo? Wow. Just rolling off the tongue. Beelzebufo is trying to find a mate, but he's interrupted by these sauropods that are just there to like play in the mud, you know, like elephants.
So rolling in the mud like pigs, like it's so fun.
And just like, but then like, again, like this notion of like, oh, sorry, I just saw what Jose or Sheila just pop their head out of the, out of the thing that they're making a nest in.
That's so cute.
But like, yeah, that notion that again, it's, there's not only predator-prey relations that, you know, animals are, you know, running into each other and they have their, they're doing their own thing. And then, oh no, like you disrupted my pool that I was trying to attract mates in. So now I got to find another pool. And
yeah,
but then it helps because when you have all these giant several ton sauropods like fumbling around in the mud, they're creating all different kinds of pools. And to keep reiterating, it's just all really just selling this as it's really happening in front of you on screen.
Yeah. Another thing that I wanted to bring up and ask you, because I was wondering the same thing a few times. So we have those reoccurring characters. So we have Beelzebufo pop up a couple times. We have T-Rex pop in, I think like 3 or 4 times in the whole series. Did it ever cross your mind, or like, did you ever think like, are these the same ones from like, so there's that scene where we have the two in season 1 where they like get together. And then in season 2, there's a moment, I don't remember which episode is off the top of my head. There's a moment where they're hunting at night. They're hunting the hadrosaur at night.
Oh,
and it's a mated pair. And it made me wonder because they describe like, cause I literally went back into that episode and they describe the females being smaller and like the one had more pronounced stripes on his face. And
he had an injury, right?
I was looking for the injury and I couldn't see it. So I don't know, but it made me think like, are these the same, our same T-Rexes? Cause that'd be kind of cool. It's like, oh, you know, our buddies, you know, Jose and Sheila.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. They're also Jose and Sheila.
Yeah, they can be Jose and Sheila too.
Well, yeah, no, I honestly didn't think of that because again, one of those things where it's more like, I just want to know more, you know, to your point of like, I wasn't necessarily sure, or it wasn't maybe necessarily that relevant of like, is everything we're seeing happening in the same year, in the same million years? Like,
that's a good point.
I think they were still keeping, you know, again, other than, you know, similar biomes and maybe similar parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even in different episodes, they'll travel across different parts of the planet. You know, they'll go to Antarctica, they'll go to India, back to North America. Mm-hmm. So I honestly, in this first viewing, I didn't really think about that. But I feel like to me, the North America episode, the last episode of the show so far, really felt like a real Avengers, like, you know, assemble, you know, because it's, again, we could keep going on forever. I think even just to start to wind it down, but like when I'm thinking about favorite episodes, I think about like Ice Worlds and Forests in season one being like, real highlight. Like, I feel like season 1 just got better and better and better. Whereas for me, season 2 almost did like, I don't know, the middle episodes maybe kind of dipped for me a little bit. I mean, again, it's all they're all like batting over 94, you know, as far as like, yeah, like they're all pretty much perfect. But there was just something really, and also to bring up the gore or the violence part, I feel like the North America episode just really, and maybe because it wasn't just like a generic biome, it was like North America, just the episode starting with the death of a sauropod of old age.
That was another thing that I highlighted in my notes, like that you don't see that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a really cool thing to include a sauropod and he's just dying of old age on the beach.
And it like, just is
instead
so
of
poetic.
Violently.
Yeah. Just so poetic and sad and beautiful. And then going to this section where you have the Troodontids, you know, eating the corpse, and then the T-Rex coming in, and then the T-Rex and Quetzalcoatlus facing off.
Yeah.
I think Quetzalcoatlus is like obviously having a moment in the last decade, probably. I feel like they have really, you know, Pterodactyl, Pteranodon, and all the kind of weird hybridized generic flying reptiles kind of being thrown away. And we're like, no, let's talk about, and I wish we could remember more of the different flying reptile types, but shows our priorities, obviously. Andrea and I are like, you know, we got Majungasaurus, we got the different Mosasaurs, you know, Plesiosaur, whatever. But You know, they didn't show Ichthyosaur in the series at all, but, you know, the weird...
I don't know. I'm not super well-versed in marine reptiles. Was that the right time period?
No, I don't think so, but...
Yeah, that might be why. Because I think this was all, like, late Cretaceous, strictly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So... Yeah, like, that didn't even... Like, it kind of registered, but again, it's like, these are millions of years, so, you know.
Yeah.
But that last episode, you know, set... Just going from that, which felt very unique, again, we hadn't really seen a natural death on the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of set the tone for that episode to be like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And then to have the show feels very realistic, but there's some playful moments of like this Truodontid. The Truodontid's trying to chew on the hide of the sauropod. And I can't remember the name of the Alamosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And chewing on the hide. And it's like, well, no, of course, these little raptor type dinosaurs can't chew on 3 inches thick of their skin. So the T-Rex has to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then Quetzalcoatlus flying in, you know, just as tall, if not technically taller because of its, mm-hmm. you know, stance. And then mm-hmm. the second one coming in and poking at the T-Rex, that felt so epic. And then,
uh-huh. And you know, like kind of seeing T-Rex get bested a little bit because he kind of has to retreat. He's like, this is too dangerous. Gotta go. You know?
Yeah.
Humbles him a little bit.
Very. But it's like, was that one of the same T-Rexes from, you know?
Because I just kept thinking, like, do you think this is... Because I'm, like, wondering... Because, like, at least for some documentaries, I feel like they're following the same, like, pack of animals in their footage, right? Like,
yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, if this is truly, like, they're kind of mimicking it like it was an actual, like, real-life documentary. I'm wondering if, like, this is the same, but they're just not mentioning it. Like, they're these are the same T-Rexes that we've been seeing.
Yeah, the vibes are
similar. Which would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the vibes are similar. Yeah, especially, like, the pair. The second I saw it, I was like, is that the same pair from season one? Like, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the North America episode, like, really... Again, it just felt a little like there was more kind of, you know, the horn breaking off the Triceratops, you know, like that was brutal. And and the Mosasaur, like, you know, I would say maybe the CGI for the water stuff is the hardest. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like even in the first is it the first episode where the Mosasaur gets the body scrub?
Yeah.
Like where he's getting the body scrub from all the fish because it's like, yeah, that happens in the real world. And, you know, human beings will go to Korean spas and, you know, have a bunch of little fish suckle at your toes and scrape off the skin and stuff. When its head is like above the water, like basking, you know, because marine reptiles, you know, just for listeners, like marine reptiles had to breathe oxygen. That looked like a real sea creature sticking its head out of the water.
Yeah. And I thought that bit where he's kind of resting on that shallow rock and with his head up and his mouth open. I mean, that's what Aegon, my bearded dragon, does when he's basking. He opens his mouth. It's called venting because they can't pant or sweat like, you know, like people can. So that's their way of like kind of cooling off is holding their mouth open a little bit. So I thought that was kind of cool because I mean, that's what I see in the lizard that lives in my house. So it's kind of cool that the marine reptiles do the same thing when he's basking.
I don't know. Is there any other moments that really stuck out to you or other? And you also mentioned you wanted to maybe mention some because I mean, the little, you know, I love a good ammonite, you know? And so in the oceans episode, when you see the like how the babies all pushing themselves back towards the ocean. Like that was awesome. That was really cool.
And all the varieties of ammonites that you get to see in season two.
Oh yeah. Well. No, yeah. You get all the paperclip one. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I love ammonites. So I like that we got to see, ammonites, I think like 2 or 3 times in the whole series. That was kind of cool.
And the Nautilus and you know, how they get the same rhythm. Those are the ones that mate.
Yeah. And like how they use like jet propulsion.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. The Mosasaur crunching them.
Yes.
So it breaks their like oxygen seal. So they sink to the bottom and then he just goes, oh, he's like, it's a buffet.
Yeah. That's so smart. I love it. Yeah. The Mosasaurs, I think were probably as far as like non-dinosaurs go. I really enjoyed the Mosasaurs. Specifically, that's also in one of my top CGI moments, just like the scenery in general is the Phosphorosaurus, that smaller mosasaur that's kind of like sneaking through the coral reef in season two. I really liked that one. So that's like that's up there in my favorite. And the Cynosuchus were just funny to look at. I thought they're like smirk, their little like smirk.
Yeah, they're kind of like pug crocodiles.
Yeah, they're like really smug looking. I enjoyed them, and Beelzebufo are also my favorite.
You texted me a picture of one of them with mood.
Yeah, it's just sitting there like. What about more of your favorite CGI dinosaur moments?
I mean, we covered a lot of them.
Well, because one of your favorite dinosaurs is on in the series.
Oh, well, the Carnotaurus. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I almost felt like that moment was recalling kind of like a classically memed Planet Earth episode where the bird is like,
yeah.
I'm doing the dance. Like, where, you know, because there's that kind of fluorescence, mm-hmm. you know, that birds will use to like attract mates and stuff. It was very silly. I feel like Carnotaurus, it feels like pretty, as far as dinosaur representation goes, feels pretty locked in stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as like the version in Fallen Kingdom and Dominion looked pretty similar to the one in this show. Although I remember reading something that, and I don't think they mentioned it in the show itself, but like the sort of newer discoveries that, you know, like, I feel like the word is maybe like scutes, like the little like bony things that like, you know, a lot of dinosaurs mm-hmm. have that kind of give them the texture, that like they're kind of random as opposed to like arranged in specific patterns and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that whole section where it's like the Carnotaurus wiggling its little tiny arms and then doesn't attract the mate. I just felt bad for him because he was just like, oh, just organizing my mating area where, you know, he's like picking up the stick. And
yeah,
that definitely like, again, more fuel to like just how freaking weird, you know, animals are in general, you know?
Yeah, I think that was definitely like a comic relief scene.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, again, I, you know, it's one of those things where it's like Alora Titan, like, you know, I love Shantungosaurus is one of my favorite dinosaurs, which is the biggest hadrosaur, you know, like Edmontosaurus or, you know, Parasaurolophus, which is like, it's the only herbivore that's in every Jurassic movie. So,
oh, I didn't know that. I never made that connection.
Yeah. Cause Velociraptor and T-Rex are in every Jurassic movie, all six. Mm-hmm. Soon to be seventh Jurassic World movie. We'll see if we'll get both of them.
I'm sure we will.
But is it a Jurassic Park movie without T-Rex and Velociraptor?
I'd be like, I want my money back if I don't see at least one of them.
But, you know, but Parasaurolophus has been represented in every Jurassic Park movie too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go all the way from the original where they're in the background when the Brachiosauruses are in the very first movie. Lost World, you get kind of their big show, you know, with the hunting, you know. This isn't a game trail, or this is a game trail. It's a buffet, you know. Jurassic Park 3, they're with the Corythosauruses, you know, because Parasaurolophus has the big like Elvis, the pompadour.
Yeah.
And then Corythosauruses have more of like a rounded crest.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in Jurassic World, they're kind of just amongst the other, you know, the other herbivores, you know, Triceratops and Apatosaurus. And then Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, they're being escorted mm-hmm. away from Isla Nublar, away from the volcano, and then they're uh-huh. in the mansion. And then in Dominion, they get rounded, you know, they get rounded up by Owen Grady.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it was cool to see new types of hadrosaurs in this mm-hmm. series. And again, Alora Titan, I think, was my favorite out of those, because just seeing the babies and how they have that very, like, I don't know. They just had a very
like duck-billed kind of face. Is that what you're motioning towards?
Yeah. That's sorry, non-podcasting. But you know, they just had another unique kind of head crest that I hadn't seen before in hadrosaurs mm-hmm. of my youth or whatever.
I would argue that one's more pompadour shaped.
I know, right? Yeah, because that one kind of goes.
It's rounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but just that idea of like, again, just a new dynamic of like, oh no, the babies are in trouble because the mosquitoes are just, you know, because the adults, like their hides are thicker. Mm-hmm. And so you just see these babies just being like getting tired and woozy from like losing blood, crazy. You know, and it's not graphic. It's not, it's distressing, but you know, as they're crawling towards freedom and you're like, go little guy, go,
yeah.
You know, and that was just, yeah, that was like, I think like one of the peak emotional moments of like, you know, of like in terms of like emotional storytelling throughout the series, like that Alora Titan was like, you know, pretty early on where I was just like, wow, this is not just like a good series. This is incredible on all fronts, not just like representation of dinosaurs, but, you know, the planet Earth angle and just, you know, just a great watch.
And like the dangers that they face, that's not just carnivores.
Yeah.
It's mosquitoes.
Because, yeah, I mean,
mosquitoes were probably huge, too.
I mean, what? Malaria has probably killed more people than a lot of other things, you know, humans in this world, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, it was cool. It was interesting, you know, it was, again, another interesting angle to talk about. I mean, I feel like we kind of hit everything.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about this for like ever.
Well, I mean, so again, protect Sir David Attenborough at all costs, but what would you want to see in a season three?
So I, like I mentioned earlier, this is all like late Cretaceous period animals. This is all within the same time period, at least as far as I know, unless I like missed something. But it would be cool to see, I think if they do a season three and four, I think that they might do a different, at least I hope they do a different time period, like Jurassic or Triassic period, or even like post KT extinction.
Yeah.
Stuff like that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because again, and I'm sure Sir David Attenborough mentioned it a couple times during the episodes, but yeah, it didn't even really hit me that it was all happening during the Cretaceous, but obviously we didn't see Stegosaurus. We didn't see any of the, you know, sauropods, Brachiosaurus, Apatosaurus.
Where's the trilobites? And then I was like, this isn't even the same, like, time period, like, you know? Well,
yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, obviously I would love, like, a full Jurassic era exploration because the world looked a lot closer to how our world looks now. Than the, you know, because Pangaea was already breaking up, North America was already forming, like, but the Jurassic period and the Triassic period, like, the Earth looked so completely different. Flowers hadn't happened yet. Flowers didn't happen until the Cretaceous period. And so, oh, I was just going to say, just more opportunities to show how different things are, but maybe that's a challenge because...
That's what I was about to chime in and say, because I feel like, you know, I think... The Cretaceous period, I think we probably have a lot more specimens from that period because it's newer.
Yeah.
It's probably the most studied. So it might be hard.
Yeah.
It might be really hard for them to do something like that. So who knows if they will, but I think that would be kind of cool if they are able to do it. Even doing like post-extinction.
Yeah.
When like, you know, birds are, the flying birds, you know, start developing, or going, evolving.
Yeah. Going to Ice Age and doing.
Yeah.
Manny from Ice Age, you know?
Yeah, the giant sloths.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I wonder, because I mean, I hope that, like, I kind of did like a really quick search and to see if maybe they were planning on doing a season three. It doesn't, at least as far as I know.
Yeah, there's no announcement yet.
No announcement of it. So I wonder. But that's what I think would be cool to see. Just a different time period. Because I mean, it makes sense that they would do late Cretaceous. But I don't, like, unless they branch out and do even more dinosaurs that they didn't talk about in seasons one and two, I think it might get repetitive fast. Because you know what I mean? Like, I think for a lot of people, you talk about dinosaurs, they want to see T-Rex. Like, that's like, you know, if they do more like Cretaceous period footage, like I'm trying to think of like who they may have missed in seasons one and two. That they would like, other than the lesser known dinosaurs, you know what I mean? Like, I think that the natural next step might be to do a different time period.
Yeah. I mean, there's like some other ceratopsians that'd be fun to see. And I don't even, off the top of my head, like, I mean, were all ceratopsians during the Cretaceous? I think so, right? Like, Styracosaurus and Camarasaurus.
Yeah, there's like a few, like maybe more primitive
yeah.
ceratopsians that would have, you would have seen like the Triassic or Jurassic.
But well, but that's the thing. Like for me, the Triassic period is such a different, because it's just a bunch of weird squatty guys, you know, you got Dimetridon, Dimetrodon, you know, during that time, who's not even a dinosaur is, you know, one of our ancestors.
Dinosaur in our heart.
Yeah, dinosaur in our heart. But like the Triassic period, I feel like is like kind of almost like a weirder period because everything kind of looks, you know, the differences between mammals, reptiles, dinosaurs, you know, all those things are all kind of more similar than they are distinct from each other. But then there's like giant froggy looking guys. But also another thing I was telling my dad was, cause I showed him the picture of us flipping off TikTok and it's like, what if they could do a series where they would go that far back?
Primordial pools,
you know,
I just like the weird little sea creatures and
yeah. What is it? Amalachorus or he's like got the like, you know, the little things on the side of the body and they just look like the weird big eye segmented, like, you know, the eye stalk things and the proboscises and just like, yeah, that is such an alien time that, yeah, I think I didn't even think about that. But yeah, to your point, like, you know, at least with the Cretaceous period, they could go out into the real world today. And it is in general, closer to T-Rex. Because again, I've said the fact a bajillion times recently, but yeah, like there's more time between a Stegosaurus and T-Rex than T-Rex is to us. So yeah, how would you go about filming these other eras and make them seem as realistic and kind of grounded as you would the Cretaceous period?
Yeah. And the environment is a good point because when I was watching, I was like, I wonder how much of this is just like real time footage of like the environment, like the drone, like what it looks like the drone overhead view of like the treetops and stuff. And I was like, I'm assuming this is like real life.
Yeah.
Like these shots, you know, or like things, the time lapses of things growing.
Yeah.
Because like the environments were close enough that maybe they could get footage from like our world, and our time period and kind of like intermix the two. Again, I don't really know how they did it. If like the environments are mostly CGI or if it's actual like real life.
Yeah.
But that would be really difficult to do for anything before that. Like that's a really good point. Like that might make it very almost impossible. Maybe like it might make it less convincing.
Well, yeah, it's like I was somewhere. I don't even remember what. God, was it in DC at their oh my God, what's the word for it when it's like all the plants hanging out in a building together?
A greenhouse?
A botanical garden. That's what
botanical garden. There you go.
when you're, you know, people, botanical garden.
I know, everyone's screaming. But, you fools.
But, you know, when you go to stuff like that, they're actually redoing the one in San Diego. I was just down there recently and they're like completely redoing it because botanical gardens to me always just look like something out of Jurassic Park, you know, like the aviaries or, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, you read like the little plaques and stuff. There's one in Chicago that I've been to.
The Chicago Botanical Garden. Oh, no. That's the, I don't think that would have been the one that you went to if it was downtown. I know what you're talking about. It's just like a big greenhouse.
Yeah. It's just like a big greenhouse.
Yeah.
And they put a bunch of the Target skeletons in there for one Halloween one time I was out there. But, you know, it's like, you'll read a thing about like ferns, you know, and it's just like ferns used to be like the dominant, you know, form of plants, you know, and then it was like in the Cretaceous period when flowers first appeared and just kind of took over. And so, yeah, it's like, how do you even go about finding environments that still, yeah, look like that time period, you know? Again, you have plants in this building that are poisonous. You just think, because you think they look good. I don't believe this. Okay, anyways. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Andrea, this has been best. I think we've almost been talking for 2 hours.
Yeah, I think we have.
this has been the best.
Time flew by. I thought it's only been like an hour.
I think what we really need to do the next time we talk about animal, you know, Dino Doc, I think we need to watch Walking with Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think we do, because I probably should be watching it.
It's the 25th.
Since I referenced it. I've like never seen it before, but.
I mean, I watched it. I definitely watched it when it came out. and watched it like maybe on Netflix, like, you know, when streaming first started, but I probably haven't watched it in 10, 15 years. So
yeah,
I think it'd be due for a rewatch, and it'd be, you know, again, at the time it was the most expensive maybe documentary ever made, or, you know, whatever you want to call these, you know. I mean, it is a documentary. It's presenting real information. It's just, right, you know,
just using animation. So the real stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But so that would be a really fun thing to go back and have us look at that through the lens of prehistoric planet, just to see, you know, the previous era of this kind of filmmaking and stuff. But thank you so much for coming back on again, your third time, round three, the Jurassic Woo-hoo! Park three of your appearances. I mean, again, we're doing a really special series in June. Maybe we'll save more hints later, but, you know, favorite dinosaurs are involved. Which you should be following Andrea on social media, Strange Bird Art, you might be seeing some previews of that. So, thank you. Where can people follow you, find you, and support you? You know, all that good stuff.
Strange Bird Art on Instagram, Twitter, Threads too, I guess. Basically anything. Yeah, just Strange Bird Art, all one word. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And, I mean, again, you'll hear from both of us together real soon.
Yeah, real soon. I'll be back.
You're just like a dinosaur. Like,
that's awesome. A threat.
Yeah, that's a threat. So Jose and Sheila they've been busy. They've been really busy today, I think, because it's less windy. So I think they're kind of like, let's get as much materials together so that again.
They were really getting tossed around by the wind the last couple days and even sending me videos. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. Oh, I just saw one of them pop back into their little shelter. So
cute.
But yeah, follow me at Steve Ray Morris, see Jurassic Right on everything. And, you know, hold on to your butts. And I was going to do some David Attenborough thing, but you know what? Just hold on to your butts. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.